The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen. Daf chavheh. Today's daf is being studied, le'ilu nishmat Avraham ben Esther, ruach Hashem, tanihenu b'gan Eden. Amen. L'atzlachat Yosef ben Simcha. We are beginning today's daf on Chav Dal Ramu Bet, and we start from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Marhikin et Goren Kavua min ha'ir hamishim amma. Goren is like a stack or a pile of wheat or pile of product. So you have to move the pile that it shouldn't be within 50 amma of the city. The reason why it's a problem is because in the Goren, it has the wheat and it has the chaff. The chaff is like the peel of the wheat. So when the wind blows the chaff into the city. It's going to damage the people. It's going to damage the people of the city. It's going to be a pollution for the city. So if you have to move it, you have to move it back. Comes the Mishnah and says, Lo ya'ase Adam Goren Kavua betoch shelo. A person should not make a fixed goren, a fixed pile of wheat, let's say, in his own field, Ela imken yeshto hamishim amma lechol ruach, unless he has it removed 50 amma from all sides. Because we don't want the chaff to go into his neighbor's field, and it's going to ruin it. The reason is because when the chaff goes into somebody else's field, it causes the field to become dried out. So we don't want to damage our neighbor's field. So therefore, if you're going to put it in your own field, you have to move it away 50 amma. Then it says, "Umarhik min nitiotav shel havero." You also have to keep the goren away from the trees of your friend. Uminiro. Niro is his plowing. Which means if he just plowed, he has a furrow, you have to keep it away as well. Bechde shelo yazik. In order that it doesn't damage. Let's read Rashi. Rashi is matnitin over there. Goren kavua. The Gemara is going to explain what does it mean. Goren kavua, a permanent goren. What does those language mean? We'll see in the Gemara. Hamishim amma mepne hamotz hamazik et bnei ha'ir kishehu zore. When a person winnows, winnowing is you throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind comes along and blows the chaff far away. And then the wheat falls back down again. So you separate the haita from the motz. So we're worried if it's going to be within 50 amma, when the guy's going to be making zoreh, the motz is going to fly and damage the people of the city. That's also going to cause to dry out their zera'im, their seeds. Okay, b'gamara mefaresh ma'yezek de motz denir. The Gemara is going to ask, what's the damage that the motz has to a furrow? You want to tell me to a field, there's seeds over there, the motz is going to dry it out. But if an empty furrow, you didn't even put seeds in there yet. How could the motz damage the furrow? The Gemara will explain that. Okay, look at the next Rashi. Bechdes shelo yazik, hay shi'ura mashma batzir mahamishim amma. Right, which means in the beginning of the Mishnah, you told me, what's the shi'ur? 50 amma. At the end of the Mishnah, you tell me, far enough so it doesn't damage. Make up your mind, that sounds like a different shi'ur. Is it 50 or is it far enough so it doesn't damage? So the Gemara is going to have to reconcile that as well. The Gemara begins, Mai shena resha, u mai shena sefa. Exactly that question. Why in the beginning of the Mishnah, you gave me a shi'ur? 50 amma. At the end of the Mishnah, you give me a different shi'ur. Bechdesh shelo yazik. Just far away so it doesn't damage. Sounds like it's even less than 50 amma. Make up your mind. Gemara says two answers. Amar Abaye, sefan ata legoren she'eno kavua. So, The last part of the Mishnah that says you can even go closer than 50 amma, just so you don't damage, that's talking about not a permanent gordon. What does it mean, not a permanent gordon? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean, gordon shenu kavua? What does that mean? Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, kol she'enu zoreh berachat. Rachat was like a pitchfork that they used to use in order to make the winnowing. They take the pitchfork, they stick it into the pile, and they throw it up in the air, and the wind goes. If you have a big, big pile, then you need already this rachat to go and do the winnowing. So that's called the gordon kavua. Gordon kavua must be big. Oh, gordon kavua, then you need 50 amma. But if it's not a gordon kavua, then you can even go closer, just so long as you don't damage. So really, basically, the answer is it's big one, it's a small one. So comes Gemara and says, Rav Ashi amar, no, Rav Ashi says no. Ma ta'am ka amar. מהי טעמה מרחיקין גורן קבוע מן העיר 50 אמה כדי שלא יזיק? He learns the Mishnah is all talking about 50 amma. And the Mishnah is to be read in the following way. You're not allowed to put the gorin within 50 amma. But the Mishnah doesn't give me a reason. At the end of the Mishnah says, you know why? כדי שלא יזיק. In order that it doesn't damage. It's not a new shiur. It's explaining the reason of why you have to do 50 amma. So there's no such thing as big, small. It's talking about a regular gordon, kavua, big gordon. And always it's going to be 50 amma. And what's the reason? Because the Mishnah says, kedesh lo yazik, so it doesn't cause damage. Right? So it's all one long case. Meti ve'ed, the Gemara has a question. Marhikin gordon kavua min ha'ir, hamishim amma. You have to move the gordon kavua, the big gordon, from the city, 50 amma. Ushem shemarhikin min ha'ir, hamishim amma. Just like you have to move it 50 amma from the city. כך מרחיקים מדלועיו ומקשועיו ומנטיעותיו ומנירו של חברו 50 amma. Let's go one step at a time. What's דלועים? דלועים is gourds. Okay, it's like a type of vegetable, gourd. מקשועיו. Okay, קישואים. קישואים is like a squash. Cucumbers. נטיעותיו is trees. נירו is furrows של חברו 50 amma כדי שלא יזיק. So you see clearly the brightness is what? The whole reason why you gotta move the pile, the gorin, from the trees or from the furrows, from the vegetables. Why? 50 amma, so you don't cause damage. Bishtama Rav Ashi niha. According to Rav Ashi, this brightness makes sense. Because everything is 50 amma. And the reason is kedesh lo yazik, exactly like the Mishnah is understood. Ela le'abaye kasha. But according to Abaye, we have a kasha. Well, what's the kasha according to Abaye? Abaye has two shi'urim. Goren gadol, goren katan. The Braita over here sounds like it's 50 amma, flat amount, no matter what it is. According to Abaye, how is he going to learn this? Braita. Gemara says, you know something? Kasha. It is indeed a question against Abaye. Comes again what on says, Bishlama de Rav Ashi niha. According to Rav Ashi, everything makes sense. Ela baye kasha. Bishlama makshu'av umidelu'av. I understand why I would have to move the gorin from the gourd and from his cucumbers. You know why? De azil avka ve'ate bilibe. Because the dust, when you're making winnowing, all the junk from the chaff, from the wheat, flies into the guy's field, and it's going to go into the seeds. The guy's planting something. So when it's going to go into the heart of the seeds, it's going to ruin the crop. That I understand. However, masvele means it's going to dry it up. It's going to cause it to become damaged. Gemara comes along and says, Ela miniro amai. But what could happen in the furrow? There's no seeds in the furrow. What did they do in the olden days? They would plow. Not in the Tishri time, they would plow because they wanted to make sure there's no weeds underneath the ground. So when they plant in the planting season, the ground is ready. And sometimes there's thorns. So the plowing would prepare the ground for the next season. But there's no seeds in the ground. So nothing can get dried out. So why do you have to move 50 amma just from the furrowing, from the plowing? There's nothing there. So the Gemara says, "Ela miniro amai." אמר רב אבא בר זבדא ותימא רב אבא בר זוטרא בפנה שעושה אותו גלל. You're going to over-fertilize the field. The motz, the chaff, serves as a fertilizer. A fertilizer is usually good for the field, but not when you put too much. And therefore, it's going to over-fertilize the field, and therefore, it's going to ruin it. Look at the top Rashi. Marbel lo zevel. Right? It's going to be too much zevel, which is fertilizer. Vesoref et hazera'im shenizra'ubo. It's going to burn the seeds that you're going to plant in it. When you're going to come eventually plant, it's going to be too strong to fertilize. Tap Tosfot she'oseh oto gelal afapid de gelal mashbiah hakarka. Even though normally fertilizer is good for the ground, kishehi kula gelal mazik. But when it's all fertilizer, it's mazik. And we're worried that when you're going to be too close with this pile of wheat, so then the concern is when you're going to make the winnowing, the chaff is just going to fly over to the guy's field, and eventually it's going to burn the seeds that he plants in. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Marhikin et hanevelot ve'et hakevarot ve'et haborseki min ha'ir 50 amma. Following items have a terrible smell. Nevelot is animals that were not slaughtered properly, just dead carcasses, we'll call them, carcasses of the animal. Kevarot is graves. And then you have borseki. Borseki is a tannery. That's where they make the leather, and they tan it. And all these items have one thing in common, that there is a great smell. And what are we concerned about? The concern is that the smell is going to go to the city, and as a result of it, it's going to cause a damage to the people. Now, you're going to ask, graves have a smell? Graves don't have a smell. I understand the dead carcass. I understand the tannery. So Mefashim explained, the graves is for a different reason. You don't want to cause the people of the city to be morbid and depressed, that every time they're walking in the city they have to look at kivarot. To keep the city in the proper attitude, even though it's once in a while it's good, but keep it outside. If people want to remember the day of death, they can go outside the city to remember the day of death. You don't have to put it right in the middle of the city, so you have to move it 50 amma away for that reason. Okay, however, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, אין עושים בורסקי אלא למזרח העיר. When it comes to the tannery, even though we just told you got to move it 50 amma out of the city, giving another rule when it comes to a bursiki, you can only make it on the east side of the city. Because usually on the side of the east, there's not too much winds. And therefore we're not worried that it's going to blow the smell into the city. That's the reason. So again, Bursaki, you need two things according to Tanakama. The east side of the city and 50 amma away. Because there, I'm not concerned about winds that are going to come and cause a damage to the city. Okay? Look at and by the way, this is only by Bursaki, not by a bit of Kivarot and not by a Nevelot. Because those don't smell that much. But here, we're very concerned. So therefore, only on the east side. Look at Rashi. Ena lemizrach ha'ir. She'ena ruach mizrachit kasher. This wind on the east side is not too kasher. It's not too strong tamid. Ena imkin ba'al lepur'anut. Unless it's coming for damaging. Which means you need a westerly wind. Right? If it's on the east side, for it to blow it to the city, you need a wind that's coming from, that's going towards the west, I should say. Starting in the east, right, and going towards the west. That type of wind, as she says, is not so common. Once in a while you have a strong wind like that, but since it's not so common, I'm not worried that the wind is going to come from the east side and blow the stench to the city. Look at Rashi. שאין הרוח מזרעית קשה ותנור, אלא אם כן בא לפורענות, אבל כדרכה, but normal wind that comes from that side, היא חמה, it's a warm wind, ומנשבת בנחת, and it's an easy wind. תכתיב, like it says in ספר יונה, that we're going to read soon, רוח קדים תרשישה ותח השמש, a wind, sorry, רוח קדים חריסית, חריסית means it's a calm, quiet wind that comes from the east. So we're not worried on a calm wind like that. It's not going to bring the smell to the city. Where if it was a gust or a strong wind, it would blow it to the city. But if you put it on the east side, we're not worried. Comes again when the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Rabbi Akiva omer, Lechol ruach hu oseh chutz mima'arava. He says, you can put the bursiki on any side you want, except on the west side. Big machloket over here. Tanakh Abbas says only on the east side. Rabbi Akiva says, you know what? Do whatever you want. Put it wherever you want, but just not put it on the west side. Umarhik hamishim amma. And you have to move it 50 amma. Now we have to see what that means. Does that mean you need two things? West side plus 50 amma? Or west side, even close to the city? The other three, 50. That we have to see exactly how Rabbi Akiva learns. Now what's the matter with the west side? You have to see the Gemara. Okay. Last part of the Mishnah. This we know already from an earlier learning. Umarhikin etam mishra min hayarak. Mishra is when a person used to have flax. They used to soak the flax in water in order to soften them up, to prepare them. It seems the mishra, this water of the flax, has a terrible smell. And it's also damaging. So you have to move the mishra from the yarak, from the vegetables, ve'eta kirishin. Kirishin is karti, it's like onions. Mina betzalim, from the onions as well. So again, let's go. Mishra mina yarak. You have to move the pishti, the flax in the water from the yarak. I have a friend. He has a vegetable over here. I want to put my flax, I got to move it away so it doesn't cause it, the fruit, vegetables, to have a damage. Et a kirishin. Kirishin is karti, like you have on Rosh Hashanah. Karti, it's a green, like the leeks, exactly. You have to move the karti from the betzalim, from the onions. It seems these two things together are going to cause damages. Et a hardal min a divorim. Remember, we learned the mustard seed, you have to move from the bees. Because we learned that what happens, the bees eat the mustard seed. The mustard seed is very sharp. As a result, they need to eat something, and they end up eating the honey. And they're taking the honey away from the guy. The guy's bees to make honey. Now, because this guy's mustard seed is next to it, the bees are going to eat the honey themselves. So therefore, you have to separate it. The bee Yosef comes along and says, Matir Bechardal. He comes along and says, on the mustard case, you have to separate. You don't have to separate it. Why? Because he says, both damage. The bees eat the mustard, and the mustard causes damage to the bee. Who's guilty? They're both guilty. Which means nobody's damaging more than they're both damaging. So therefore, why do I have to move? The bee guy is going to tell the mustard guy, hey, get out of here. The mustard guy will say, hey, you get out of here. Your bees are eating my mustard seeds. Which is just like you're saying, I'm damaging you, you're damaging me. So for the bee, you'll say it's matir when it comes to this item. And we'll see more in the Gemara when we get to it. Okay, now the Gemara says, Iba'ilu, we start. Rabbi Akiva, Hechi Ka'amar. Rabbi Akiva said, you could put the bursiki on all sides, but not on the west side. So we want to understand, what does that mean? Hechi Ka'amar, Lechod Ruachu Asa V'Samuch. Does it mean you could put it on all sides close to the city without even doing 50 amma, samuch? Osomech, which is samuch really. Samuch means next to the city. Chutz mima'araba, except for the west side, dimerhik nun amma, the ose. But on the west side you need 50 amma. O dilma lechol ruachu ose umarhik hamishim amma. Or maybe on all the other three sides you got to move 50 amma away. Chutz mima'araba, de eno ose kelal. Except for the west, that you're not allowed to do it there at all. So that's the question. Basically the question is, on the west side that he said you can't do it, does it mean west 50 amma away, then it's okay? Or no, maybe west side at all not. So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, Detanya Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lecho ruahu ose umarhik hamishim amma, chutz mima'araba, te'enu ose, Kol Ikar. Clearly. All the other sides, you could put the bursiki, so long as you have the 50 amah rule. On the west side, nowhere. Not next to the city, not 50 amah away from the city. What's so bad about the west side? So the Gemara says, Mepneh shehi tadira. Literally, because it is frequent. Frequent what? What's frequent? Amar le-Rava, le-Rav Nachman, mai tadira. What does it mean? What's frequent? Ili ma tadira biruhot. Oh, maybe you say the winds. If you're going to tell me the westerly wind is frequent, so now I'm worried. Because if you're going to put this bursiki on the west side, the wind is going to constantly blow the smell into the city. So that's why you can't do it on the west side. Gemara says, not so. The westerly wind is not a common wind. How do I know? Ve'amar Rav Hanan bar Abba Amar Rav Dalid Ruchot Min Hashevot Bechol Yom. There are four winds that blow every day. The Ruach Sefonit Im Kulam. And with every wind, there's always a northerly wind that's blowing with it. Why? Northerly wind is the most important. She'il Maleken En Olam Mitkayem Afilu Sha'ahat. Wow. The northerly wind, without it, the world would not be able to exist even for a moment. Now she says, Lefi shehi raka umetuka vitzilula. It's a light wind, it has sweetness, it's clear air. Okay. Verua dirumit kashemekula. Wow, the southerly wind, that's the worst wind. The ilmale ben netz. There's a certain angel that they call him Ben Netz. Netz in English is a bird. It's a sparrow. This angel looks like a sparrow. So they call them Ben Netz. Now you know what that angel's job is? Shema'amida. It controls it. Which means that angel stands by the southerly wind in order to calm it down. And if you didn't have the angel calming down the southerly wind, the wind would actually destroy the whole world. How do we know that? Shneimar, it says in the pasuk in Iyov, Ha mebinatcha ya'aver netz yifros kenafav leteman. Which means Iyov, God is telling Iyov, you think in your wisdom the sparrow knows, or this malach knows to stand on the southern side. That's why it says the word Yifros kenafav leteman. It puts its wings by the southern side, so when the wind blows, the wings of the angel slow it down. So God is telling Iyov, you think you did that? You think that happens by itself? I did that. And therefore you see what? That the Ben Netz spreads its wings out in order to temper the southerly wind. Continue. So therefore, it's not the westerly wind. So we back to the question of Akiva. Why are you so against the west side? And don't tell me it's because of the wind, because the Gemara says it's the northerly wind that's a common wind, and it's the southerly wind that's the most dangerous wind. So why can't you put it on the west side? The Gemara answers: Ela mai tadira, tadira b'shechina hadush. Shechina is on the west. That's where the Shekhinah is. And it's not kavod for the Shekhinah to put a smelly bursiki on that side. Nothing to do with the smell to the city, nothing to do with the wind blowing. Stop. Kavod Shekhinah. Which means, if you want to know in the directions, where's the Shekhinah? Shekhinah is in the west. Therefore, it's not proper to do such things in that place. Oh, comes the Gemara and says, how do you know this? The Amar of Yehoshua ben Levi said, Bo, v'nachzik tova la'avotenu. You know something? We have to give hakarat ha-tov, give thanks to the men of the great assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Because in the book of Ezra, they wrote a pasuk, and from this pasuk, it taught us a big hadush, that the Shekhinah is in the west. It's a pasuk we say every day. What's the pasuk? She'odiru makom tefilah. Because of them, we know what direction to pray in. Because once we're going to prove that the Shekhinah is in the west, so when you pray the Amidah, you have to face the west. How do you know what's in the west? Dichtiv. Usva shamayim lecham ishtahavim. Very good. The bodies in the heaven bow to God. Now let's think about it ourselves. The sun, take the path of the sun. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So it looks like the sun is what? Bowing towards the west. Because it comes down in the west. It rises in the east, and as it goes across, it comes down in the west. Why? Why does God make it like that? Because it must be the Shekhinah is in the west. So even the sun bows to God. So when it says, Usva Shamayim Lecham Ishtahavim, from that Pasuk in Ezra, we learn that the Shekhinah is in the west. Now you could ask me a question. But Rabbi, at night, the sun goes down from the west and goes back to the east. So maybe it's bowing to the east. Because the sun goes both ways. In the day it goes east-west. At night it goes west back to the east. So Tosfot asked that question. Tosfot says, but you don't see that. The part that you see is the part that Borei Olam wanted you to see. At night you don't see the sun when it's on the other side of the horizon. So therefore, what's visual is east-west. So therefore, must be God did that, so you could understand that the Shekhinah is in the west. Comes the Gemara and says, who said? Matkif la davaha bar Yaakov. V'dilma ke'eved shenotel pras mirabo v'chozer la'achorav u'mishtachaveh. Gemara has an interesting question. You have a servant. His master gives him a gift. After he receives the gifts, how does he walk away from his master? Backwards. He doesn't want to turn his back to his master. So he walks away backwards, as out of kavod. Could be, really the Shekhinah is in the east. And the sun is walking backwards away from the Shekhinah. Why are you looking at it that the sun is facing west? Maybe the sun is really facing the east. And it, after it serves Hashem in the east, it walks backwards to go to the west. So if you have no proof, Gemara says, you know something? Kasha. A good question. V'Rabbi Oshaya Savar Shekhinah Bechol Makom. Rabbi Oshaya says, the Shekhinah is in every place. The Shekhinah is in all directions. It's not concentrated in one direction more than another. D'Amar Rabbi Oshaya Bai Dichtiv, also a pasuk that we say every day, Ata hu Hashem lebadecha. God, you are alone. Ata asita et ha-shamayim, shmei ha-shamayim, ha-ares, v'chol seva'am. So it says, Sheluhecha lo kishluhe basar v'adam. Oh. God, your servants or your messengers are not like a regular messenger that a human being sends. שלוחי בשר ודם ממקום שמשתלחים לשם מחזירים שליחותם. When a regular human being sends a messenger, he expects after the messenger executes, he has to come back and tell the guy that sent him, okay, it's all taken care of. So always a human messenger has to return back to the place from where he was sent to give a report that he did what he was supposed to do. אבל שלוחיך, but the messengers of God, למקום שמשתלחים, משם מחזירים שליחותן. But you, Borei Olam, your messengers, you send them on a mission, and the place that they arrive, that's where they tell you that they fulfilled the mission. That means God must be in both places. He must be in the place where the messenger was sent, and he must be in the place where the messenger arrives. Because by Borei Olam, when God sends the messengers to do his work, they can report to him from wherever. That must mean that God is everywhere. How do you know this? So comes the Gemara and says, that's why it says, Atah Hashem lebadecha. Lebadecha means God, you're alone. There's nobody like you. All human messengers, they go to the place, they got to come back. I did it. Hashem, you're alone when it comes to this. Your messengers go to the place, and when they arrive, they can tell you in the place they arrived that they did it. How do you know that? Because the Pasuk says, Shene'emar, where is this Pasuk? In Iyov. Hat shalach berakim v'yelechu v'yomru lecha inenu.
Yavo'u v'yomru lo ne'emar. Ela v'yelechu v'yomru.
We're talking about Berakim. Barak is like the lightning. So it says in the Pasuk, the lightning does its job, and then it tells God, we did it. Now look at the Pasuk again.
Berakim v'yelechu v'yomru lach hinenu.
Then they, after it does its job, the lightning tells God, yeah, hinenu, we did it.
Yavo'u v'yomru lo ne'emar.
It doesn't say they come back to tell Borei Olam. It says, Ela v'yelechu. They go, do their job, and it seems where they are, they tell Borei Olam.
Ve'lamed she'shechina b'chol makom.
Interesting proof. If the Pasuk should have said what? The lightning goes, comes back, and tells Borei Olam, here we are, we did it. But it doesn't say that. It says the lightning goes, and in the place where it is, it says, we did it. What do you mean? But you were sent over there, you went over there. Ela must be Shekhinah's in every place.
Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'af Rabbi Ishmael Savad, Shekhinah bechol makom.
Okay, Rabbi Ishmael also says, Shekhinah's in every place.
Detana, the Rabbi Ishmael. Minayin Shekhinah bechol makom, Shene'emar. Now this was talking about a pasuk in the times of Zechariah Navi. In the times of Zechariah, God sent two angels. One angel was to destroy Yerushalayim,
and the other angel was to stop the first angel from destroying Yerushalayim, but just to knock down the wall that surrounded Yerushalayim. Now you're going to see in the Pasuk, one angel came from one direction, and the other angel came from another direction, and they were both sent from God. That must be God must be in all the directions. Otherwise the Pasuk should have said that God sent one angel, then there was another angel behind them. But it doesn't say the other angel was behind him. If he's behind him, that means he's being sent from the same direction.
So the Pasuk says, Hine ha-malach ha-dober bi-yotze.
One angel came out,
u-malach acher yotze lekrato.
And another angel came towards him. That means they came from different directions. That means God dispatches angels from all sides.
Acharav lo ne'emar.
It doesn't say the second angel was behind him.
Ela lekrato.
It was in front of him.
Melamed. Shechina bechol makom, ve'af rav sheshat savar. Shechina bechol makom,
that the holy Shechina rests in all directions.
Ve'amal rav sheshat l'shamay.
Rav sheshat was blind. Rav sheshat told his servant once,
lechol ruhata ukman.
When I pray the Amida, position me to any direction.
Levar memizrach,
but don't position me to the east.
Velav mishum delet beshechina,
not because there's no shechina in the east.
Ela mishum demoruba mini.
The apikorsim and their students, when they pray to the east because they worship the sun, which the sun rises in the east. So Rav Sheshat says, do me a favor, when you position me, I don't care what direction, but don't put me in the east. Not because there's no shechina. There's shechina in the east also. He just didn't want to give any credence to the minhag of the minim that bow to the east. So you see, Rav Sheshat also from these words holds that the Shechina is all over.
Rabbi Abu Amar Shechina b'ma'arav.
Another opinion. And Abu says no. Shechina primarily is in the west. That's like Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah. That's why he can't put a bursiki in the west.
Where do you see it? So Gemara says, the Amar of Abu, Mai Uriyah. We have a pasuk that says the word Uriyah. Uriyah stands for Avir Ya. What is this here?
So that she says, in Parsi, the way they say east is Uriyah. Actually, I correct myself. The way they say west is Uriyah. Why would they call the west Uriyah? So that she says, so that's Pshat. So Uriyah,
why they call that? Avir Yah. Avir Yah would be the air of the Shekhinah.
That's what they call it, Uriyah. Meaning, Lashon Avira. The ear, air of God is on the west side.
Another Pshat that she says, Shekach kolin the Mizrah.
Some say no. The word Uriyah is the east side.
Ra'enu de kamar Aviriyah. She'ashechina b'ma'arav u'farav le'mizrach. Namsa Mizrach Aviro.
God's air comes from the east, because he's in the west. So therefore, they call the east Avira, which Aviria means Aviria. Because if I'm in the west, where do I get my air from? From the east. So therefore, the air of God is from the east, because he is in the west. Okay, different interpretations. Either it's a Persian word for west, or it's Stam means, like we just explained. Amar of Yehuda. Okay, so now we go back to Derashot. My dichtiv in Perashat Azinu. Ya'arof kammatar likhi. It says what? Ya'arof kammatar likhi. That my teachings should come down like dew. What is this lashon ya'arof? That she says, Moshe Rabbeinu dima et Torah le'arba ruchot. Moshe compares the Torah to the four winds. The keshem she'ifshar belo hem kach ifshar le'olam belo Torah. Just like the world cannot exist without the four winds, the world cannot exist without Torah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to talk about Torah, he's going to compare it to the winds. What does he say? Ya'arof kamata likhi. Zu ruach ma'aravit. That's talking about the westerly wind. Sheba'a me'orpo shel olam. That comes from the strength of the world. Orpo shel means the strength of the world. Because since the Shekhinah is in the west. So therefore, they say that what? Ya'arof kamata likhi. That the westerly wind is called me'orpo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the strength, because that's where the Shekhinah is. Tizal katan Imrati. Let my words come down like dew. Zuruah sifunit. That's the northerly wind. Shemazelet et hazahav. It causes a devaluation of gold. Vechenu omer hazalim zahav mikis. Why is it called a devaluation? Because the northerly wind is a hot wind, and it brings famine. As a result, when there's famine, there's not enough food. So therefore, what happens to the gold? Now you can't, there's no buying. Now you're going to have to spend a lot of gold to get a little food. So therefore, the northerly wind causes deflation, or higher prices in the market, inflation on the product, and therefore the money does not have the worth anymore, the buying power. So that's called tizal, from the language like zol. Zol is cheap. So it's saying tizal katal. That's the northerly wind that causes zolut. It causes cheapening of the buying power of the gold. Kis'irim ale deshe. Se'irim is actually a name of a shed. That's a demon. So it says, Kis'irim ale deshe, like the demons that are over the grass, Zu ruach mizrahit. That's the easterly wind. Shemisa'eret et kol ha'olam kis'ir. That blows against the whole world like a shed. Wow. It's a strong wind. It brings pur'anut. The wind that comes from the east brings pur'anut. That's why we can explain earlier, according to one opinion that said, you could put the bursiki on the east side. Right? Tanakama said in the Mishnah, the bursiki on the east side. Because according to this, if you say that the wind that comes on the east side is a strong wind, it'll blow the smell outside the city. I'm not worried about putting it on the east side. If it's a strong wind that comes from the east, it'll just blow it out. That's one opinion. Anyway, וחרביבים עלי עשף, זו רוח דרומית, שהיא מעלה רביבים ומגדלת עשבים. Then Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the southern side. The southern side, the wind is very beneficial. It causes rain, and it causes the grass to grow. So each wind has its own benefit. Northern wind is drying wind, which is not good for the economy. The wind that we just discussed is from the south. That's good wind. That causes rain and causes the things to grow. Then you have the westerly wind, which sounds like it's a strong wind because it's coming from the side of the Shekhinah, And the easterly wind is like the Shedim. That's already not such a
good wind. Okay. Now we get to one of the most difficult Gemariot, which really all the Mefarshim say, it's not for us to explain it on a simple level. Moshe Chaim Lotzato says this in his Sefer Adir B'Marom, as well as the Gaon Mevilna, that the following subjects, the Hachamim, were not talking on a physical level, they were talking on a spiritual level. We all know that the world is not flat. The world is round. The earth is round. The Zohar HaKadosh in Parashat Shemini says it clearly, that the world is like a kadur. So it seems that the Hachamim, not seems, it's clear that the Hachamim knew the shape of the world. Over here, that they're talking on something that's spiritual. Not for this shi'ur to go into what the depth of their spiritual statements meant, but they knew the kadur was the earth, and they were talking now on a higher level on spiritual items. What did he say? Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Olam le'achsadra idome. I'm going to read fast. The world is like an achsadra. Achsadra means like a porch. A porch that has three walls, and on the fourth side, it's open. Three walls open on the fourth side. The ruach sefonit ena mesubechet, and the fourth side, which is the northern side, does not have a wall over it. It's open. Echeman shegiya hama etzel keren ma'arabit sefonit. When the sun reaches the northwest corner, nechfefet ve'ole le'marla menarakia. It bows down and it goes above the sky. What does this mean? Rashi. Third line. Actually, first line.
Which means, let's learn it like this. According to this rabbi, the sun that we see travels from east to west, as we know. And it travels on the southern side of the horizon. So it travels, let's say, here's the south, let's say here's the north on top. So it travels the south, and after it gets to the northwest, so it goes all the way, let's say, from east, let's say it starts from the northeastern corner, right? Goes all the way down, goes over the southern horizon, comes up. When it gets to the northwestern point, you don't see the sun anymore. That's at night, when the sun goes above the horizon, travels the whole northwest, the whole north at night, and comes back to the east in the morning. Now again, whether that's physically happening or not, we cannot say. But we just know that he looked at it as three walls, an opening on the northern side, and that's the side that the sun is out of sight. The sun travels the south, and it's out of sight in the night. The sun goes out of the rakia, beyond the horizon somewhere, and travels that side. Okay? A little esoteric for us, but we go further.
The Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and he says, no. Olam lekubahu dome.
No, the world is not like a achsadra, a porch. It's like a tent. Which means, everything is contained inside a tent. It's like a roof. And four walls or three walls, whatever it is.
The ruach sefonit mesubechet.
And the northern side has a wall. The first rabbi says it's open, so the sun can go out. At night, it goes beyond the world, so to speak. Goes away, comes back. Right? Right, comes back. Exactly. Let's say the world, it's going from the southern side. It goes out of the northern side, because there's an opening, there's a gate, according to the first rabbi. It travels outside, and then comes right back, you know, back to the east. The rabbi says, no, there's something going nowhere. There's a wall blocking on the northern side. So what happens? When the sun gets to the south, under the northwestern point, it just comes right back down. It doesn't go out of the horizon. It just comes right back across underneath, but it doesn't go beyond the horizon.
הולך אל דרום, סובב אל צפון.
We have a pasuk in Kohelet.
Literally, הולך אל דרום.
The sun goes to the south,
and then what?
And it circumvents and circles the north.
הולך אל דרום ביום, וסובב אל צפון בלילה.
Good. Like we said, it travels the southern side during the day, and then at night it goes to the north side.
סובב, סובב, הולך הרוח, ועל סביבותיו שב הרוח, אלו פני מזרח ופני מערב.
Oh. Sometimes the sun is on the east side and sometimes on the west. What does it mean?
שפעמים מסבבתן ופעמים מהלכתן.
Let me explain to you what this means. In the winter, the sun's position is starts on the southeast side, travels across to the southwest. So in the day, it only travels one side, southeast to southwest. At night, it travels the whole western side, the whole northern side, till it gets back to the east. That's the shorter days. In the winter, in the summer months, it's the opposite. In the day, the sun starts, in the longest of the summer days, the sun starts in the northeast corner, travels the whole eastern side, travels the whole southern side, travels the whole western side to the northwest, and at night, just travels the north back to the northeastern side. So the pasuk is just coming along to say, depending on what time of year it is, that's going to be the traveling of the moon. In the winter, by day it just travels the southern board, and then by night everything else is dark. And in the winter, in the summer months, you're getting more daylight on the sides of the rotation, and at night it's losing it. Okay, that's basically what's read Rashi.
Pe'amim me'alachtam. ביום ארוך, on a long day, שתקופת תמוז,
תמוז is the longest month,
שהיא יוצאה בקרן ספרונית מזרחית. The sun rises on the northeast, ושוקעת בקרן מערבית ספרונית.
Northeast goes all the way, and comes down on the northwest.
That's a full cycle. That's called מהלכתן.
It travels all the sides.
ופעמים סובחתם.
On the short winter days, the sun,
שהוא יוצא בקרן מזרחית דרומית,
it starts on the southeast side,
ושוקעת בקרן מערבית דרומית,
and it goes to the southwest side,
ומהלכת בלילה גמל רוחות.
And at night, it travels the other three directions.
So it's giving you the cycle of the sun, long days, short days. Continue.
You really have to be an astrologer, an expert in these items to really understand the depth of what they're saying. But you understand on a simple level. We understand it from knowledge. Short days, the sun obviously is traveling less during the day and more at night. And in the winter, in the summer I mean, it's traveling more in the day, where we can visually see it, and at night it's traveling less. That's basically what the Gemara is trying to say over here.
Now the Gemara says, Waya Omer, Atan Rabbi Eliezer.
The following statement is going like Rabbi Eliezer.
Min ha-heder tabo sufa. From the heder, what really means the room, comes sufa, storms. Zu ruach deromit. That's the southerly wind that comes from the inner part of the world.
Which means, since we said, according to that opinion, that Rabbi Eliezer said, the world is open on the northern side, so therefore, winds that are going to come from that side, it's opened. So therefore, the winds from that side are going to be strong, because that side is open.
So he says, "Min ha-heder tavo sufa, zo ruach deromit," that comes from the opening part of the world, because since on the northern side is open, and the other three sides is closed, so the darom, is on the inside of the house.
Make it look like a house. Three walls, right? Where's the inner wall? The southern wall. This is open on the northern side. I have three walls. The back of the room is the southern wall.
So the pasuk says, "Min haheder," from the inside wall, "Tavos sufa,"
that comes the stormy winds.
"Umimizarim kara," zo ruach sifonit, and from the open side comes the cold winds.
Because I guess since it's opened, it's not insulated by the three walls, so the cold northerly winds come from that side.
Minishmat el yeten karach.
From the Spirit of God comes the ice,
zuruach ma'arabit.
Because we said God's side is the west side, so that comes the ice.
Verochav mayim bimutzak,
and the water comes from where?
Zuruach mizrachit. That is the east side.
What do you mean? We just learned a second ago that the south side causes the rain.
And that causes the grass to grow. Which means that which we said, that it comes on the south side,
that's when you have normal rains. Normal rains that are beneficial for the grass and for growth in a normal way, that's on the south side. But shchihuta means torrential rains. That the rains is like a downpour. That's when it comes from the east side, which means that's not good. When the rains come from the east, it comes down in a downpour. That's not beneficial to the crops. But when it comes from the south side, we're talking about the calming, normal rains.
Amar Rav Chisda.
We continue. Okay, I think we're out of the woods from this piece. Now we go further.
Amar Rav Chisda. May dichtiv. Misafon zahav ye'ete. From the north, the gold will come. What does that mean? Zuruach sifonit shemazelet et hazahav.
It causes the gold to become cheap, like we learned already.
V'chenu omer azalim zahav mekis.
Like we said, when the northerly wind comes, what happens? It dries the land. There's no food. What happens to the gold? It has no value. It's deflation, which means now, or inflation actually. Now, like you said, the buying power of the gold is not strong anymore. Normally, if a loaf of bread cost 50 cents, but if there's no bread around, so now your gold that had great value, instead of buying expensive things, now you need to buy a loaf of bread. So the northerly wind causes the cheapening of the zahav.
Amar Afram Bar Papa. Amar Rav Chisda. Miyom she'ara Bet HaMikdash, from the day the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, lo hugshema ruach deromit. The southerly wind really is not beneficial anymore.
Southerly wind's a great wind. It causes rain, it causes growth, but since the temple was destroyed, that wind really hasn't done its job.
Shnei Emar, vayigzor al yamin v'ra'ev.
God decreed on the yamin, and there was famine.
Vayochal al semol ve'lo save'u.
And they are not satiated.
Uchtiv, safon v'yamin ata beratam.
God calls the south yamin. It says Safon v'yamin. So Safon is north. Yamin must be south.
And what does the pasuk say?
Vayigzor al yamin. He made a gezerah on the yamin, on the south. What was the gezerah? No more rain is going to come from the south. After the Beit HaMikdash, we lost that beracha from the southerly winds that bring the rain.
The
rains don't fall from a special place called Otzar Tov, God's treasure. We don't have Gishmei Beracha.
Shnei Emar, Yiftach Hashem Lecha et Otzaro Atov.
God will open up for you His treasure, His good treasure, to bring the rains.
Bizman Yisrael Osin Yisro Shel Makom.
That's only when the Jewish people are following the Torah.
V'Yisrael Shrim Alam Adam. The Jewish people are living in Israel. Kishavim Yordim Otzar Tov.
Then the rains come from Otzar Tov.
Bizman Shein Yisrael Shrim Alam Adam. When the Jewish people are not on their land,
the rains don't come down from this special place called Otzar Tov.
Amar Rabbi Yitzhak.
Rabbi Yitzhak comes along and says, because the pasuk says, "Latet betar arsecha." Betar arsecha is the reign of Eretz Yisrael.
Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, "Karoseh
shiyachkim." Person wants to become smart. When you pray the Amida, which way should you face?
Yadrim,
face to the south.
Shiya Ashir,
person wants to become wealthy.
Yetzpin,
you should pray to the north.
How am I going to remember this?
V'simanach
shulchan b'safon
menorah b'darom. In the Beit HaMikdash, what side was the table on? The table was on the northern side. Table represents Parnasah. So now you remember, you want to become wealthy, you face north. towards the table of the Beit HaMikdash. You want to become smart, you place the menorah. The menorah was on the southern side.
Comes the Gemara and says,
now what does the menorah have to do with Chokhmah? Because the Pasuk says, Ki ner mitzvah ve Torah or. So Torah is like light. So again, wealth is on the north side, wisdom on the south side.
Comes the Gemara and says, make a compromise. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, le'olam yadrim.
Have a better idea, he says. Always pray towards the south. Always pray for wisdom. Why? Yeah, wisdom, you make money.
Shemitok, shemithakem, mitasher.
Once you get wisdom, then you'll be able to figure out how to make money.
Shene'emar, orech yamin bimina,
bismola, or shemichavod. When you study Torah, you have long life on one side, and you have wealth on the other side. Torah gives you everything. So study, that's chokhmah, panasa will come.
Gemara says, what do you mean? V'ahar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Amar Shekhinah b'ma'arav.
Wait, Rabbi, you taught us the Shekhinah is in the west. How can I pray towards the south if the Shekhinah is in the west?
Gemara says, demitzadet atzudeh.
What I meant to say is, you tilt towards the south. Meaning, your face southwest. Really, you're facing west. You tilt to the south a little, so you're angled. I didn't say don't pray to the west. Of course you have to pray to the west according to that opinion. But you just angle. Some say no. You pray south and your head you just turn to the west. So you're facing really south but your head is west. Now, on this subject, we once said in the Rasha, praying, somebody said you can make a compromise. In Shaharit, you pray for wisdom. In Mincha, you pray. So, there's enough tefillot where you could mix them up. Hey, when we pray to the west or the east, when we pray to the north or the south, we don't pray fully north or south. We pray towards Eretz Yisrael, like we're going to see now. So we face, where we are, we face, pray east. Because we want to face towards Yerushalayim, towards Eretz Yisrael. So when we pray for wisdom, we pray northeast. When we pray for Chokhmah, we pray southeast. But it's not totally south or totally north. You tilt. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Uri Tzafon Uboi Teman. What does it mean? Uri Tzafon, wake up to the north. Uboi Teman, and go to the south. So we explain this pasuk once like this. When a person wants to wake up in the morning, the Yetzer Hara doesn't let him get up. Go back to sleep. What are you doing? You're tired. You need the rest. So you have to trick the Yetzer Hara. So what do you tell the Yetzer Hara? No, I want to get up to make money. I'm greedy. I want to make a lot of money. So the pasuk says, "Uri tzafon." Tell the Yetzer Hara when you wake up, I'm going to the tzafon. I'm going to the north. That's the minhag. That's the shulchan. That's the table. Once you get out of bed already, ubo iteman, go to the south. Go to the Beit Midrash. Go to the menorah. I mean, that's just a strategy to decoy the Yetzer Hara. When you get up, yeah, I'm going to the tzafon. Uri tzafon. Now I'm out of bed already. See you later. I'm going to Teman. I'm going to the south. I'm going to the yeshiva. Let's just finish the Mishnah. Amar le Rav Hanina Rav Asher. Kegon atun. He said, like you people that live in Bavel, the yadvitu besfona de Eretz Yisrael. Which means the people of Bavel live north of Eretz Yisrael. Bavel is north to Eretz Yisrael. Adrimu adrume. So he said the people in Bavel, when they would pray the Amidah, they would pray south. Because this opinion is going not with Shekhinah in the West. It's saying when you pray towards Israel. So therefore, if I'm in Bavel, Bavel's north of Israel. How do I pray? I pray south. How do you know that? How do you know that Bavel is to the north of Israel? Because it says in the Pasuk, Dichtiv, in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Misafon tepatach ala'a kol yoshvei ha'aretz. When the prophet was prophesying about Nebuchadnezzar, that's going to come and destroy the temple. What did he say? From the north is going to come the bed. That's Bavel, that's Nebuchadnezzar. So you see, Bavel is north. Marhiki, now, one more point. So that would be a simple halakha. If a person is going to Eretz Yisrael, and he's on a plane, so when you're going to Israel, you pray to the front of the plane. When you're coming back from Israel, you pray to the back of the plane. Because now Israel is behind you. Also, it depends where you are in Israel. If let's say a person is in Tiberias is the north of Jerusalem, so you have to pray to the south. So it's not automatically you always put the Heichal in the east. We put the Heichal in the east if that's where you're situated, where Israel is to the east. But in other countries, China's west. Exactly, which means you always have to follow where Israel. Some people make the mistake, oh, east. No, it's not east. It's towards Israel. That's what the Gemara is saying. You're in Babel, you pray south. In Iraq, they pray south, for example, according to this Gemara.
Last point from the Mishnah. Marhikin etam Mishnah min hayirik.
So we said, according to Tanna Kamma, you got to move the flax from the vegetables. You're planting flax, whatever, you're soaking flax, your friend has vegetables next door, you got to move it right because it's going to damage it. What did Rabbi Yosef say? Rabbi Yosef said, and I'm giving you the bottom line, he says, by the way, everybody could put their stuff where they want. As long as I'm doing it on my property, I can put my flax where I want. I don't care if you were there, I'm on my property. You cannot tell. You have a problem, you move. According to Rabbi Yosef, the guy that's getting damaged, he has to move out of the way. I don't have to move out of the way. I'm doing it on my property. You have a problem with it, you get out of the way. Hakamim say no. Hakamim say the one that damages has to get out of the way. So what happened? When it came to the mustard, what did Tanna Kamma say? Got mustard and I got bees. Tanna Kamma says, the guy with the mustard, get out of the way. Why? Because you're damaging the bees. Because the bees eat the mustard. It's too sharp for them. Now they end up eating the honey. So you cause the guy's honey to get lost. Because of your mustard. So Rabbi Yosef tells Tanna Kamma, listen, you don't agree with me because I hold, as long as I do something on my property, if you have a problem with it, you get out of here. I don't got to get out of here. You have a problem that I'm damaging you, you leave. But at least you should agree with me in the mustard case. Because in the mustard case, they're both damaging each other. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef is telling the rabbis, why are you telling the mustard guy to go? Let the mustard guy tell the bees, you go. The bees guy say, why should I go? You're eating my mustard seeds. So just like you're claiming I'm damaging you, you're damaging me. So that's what the Gemara says. Tana, Rabbi Yosef matir behardal. Rabbi Yosef lets you put the mustard seed next to the bees. Why? Sheyachol lomar lo, ad she'ata omer li arhek hardalcha min diborai. You're telling me move my mustard from the bees. I'll tell you harhek diborcha min hardali. You move your bees from my mustard. Shebaot veochlot ligluge hardelai. Because it's eating the leaves of my mustard. Really, Rabbi Yosef argues on all three cases. He says, as long as I'm planting on my side or doing something on my side, if you have a problem with it, you move. Tanna Kamma says, no. You're not allowed to put yourself in a position where you're going to damage your neighbor. That's why the flax, you got to move. That's why the leeks, you got to move them from the onions. That's why the mustard, you got to move it. Rabbi Yosef says, Hakamim, I know you're arguing with me, but at least agree with me on the mustard case. Because on the mustard, who's more guilty? You tell the mustard guy, get out of the way, because you're damaging my bees. Let the bee guy come with the same claim, and you're not damaging me. Which means, I'll let the mustard guy come along and tell the bee guy, what, and your bees are not eating my leaves over there? So the mustard guy, and the bee guy says, yeah, but your mustard is hurting the bees. So it's a push. So why should I have to move and you not move? So that was the claim that the B.O.C. had against Hakamim. Baruch Adonai.
Amen. Amen.